Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful Sabbath day. Thank you for fellowship. Thank you for friends and family. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. And we pray, O Lord, that you would grace us with your presence this morning, because you are the one that inspired the words that we're about to read. And may you inspire our hearts and minds, illuminate, help us to understand, Lord, what it truly means to live by every word this morning. May you guide us, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, this is where the sermon title is taken from this morning. A famous text, Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You know, the word of God, it accomplishes two things. First, it gives us the pathway on how we should live, or what we call instruction. And secondly, it also gives us the power to carry out the instruction. Let's look at that first part. What is this instruction, and how does the Bible, when it gives us this instruction, what is it talking about? You see, in fact, the Bible is God's love letter to every one of us on how to live. It's how He's communicated His love to us even in this day. Just as I instruct my kids on how to live a better life, sleeping early, making sure you don't touch the oven when it's hot, or making sure that you shower properly or take regular showers, God has left for us His word, His instruction on how to live. And it says in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus, He came to give us abundant life. And so the instruction that God has given to us is calculated in such a way to give us abundant life, the best life that we can have, not only in the future immortal life when Jesus comes for a second time, but even the life that we are to live on this earth right now in this atmosphere, in this air that we are breathing. Jesus, He is that word that gives life. And it's Jesus that gives this instruction to us. It is His word, as if He Himself was standing there speaking to each and every one of us. But furthermore, in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6, look at what the Bible says here. "Every word of God is pure." Is what? It is pure, and it is a shield to them that put their trust in Him. "Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Every single word of God is pure. It is blessing to us. It is something that is to make us better and never worse. And so, no, religion doesn't make people worse. It's people that are Christians, that claim to be Christians, that don't have the Word of God in their lives, that are purified by the Word of God. They claim to be Christians, and they are the ones that start the wars. It is not religion that starts wars. It's not religion that makes people bad. The Pharisees, they were in a good position, and they should have been good men, but they didn't have the Word of God that was pure. And not only that, it's meant to be a shield to us. It protects us. It's God's watch care over us. But yet it comes with a warning there. It says what? Do not add to these words. We've got to be careful that we don't add to the Word of God. This is what makes it impure. This is where God's protection is taken away from us. And even in Revelation 22, it says something even more. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words," Revelation 22, 18 and 19, "that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." It's not that God is angry with us when we disobey, when we add to it or take away from it. Look, friends, you've got to look at the Word of God like a map, a road map. To where? To life. To a good life, first here on this earth, but eternal life in the future. A map that leads us to Jesus. A map that if we want to live by, we got to follow it. If it tells us to turn left, let's make sure we turn left. And even in this day and age, when we look at the maps on Google or Waze, yeah, they make mistakes here and there, but you know, sometimes they will tell you to take a different way. Even though in Malaysia I know the roads, I still follow the map, because sometimes you don't know whether there's going to be traffic jam or not. You don't want to be stuck in the traffic jam and waiting there. You don't know whether an accident took place, you see. So as much as we rely on a map to get from A to B, we need to rely on the Word of God to take us from earth up to heaven. Friends, we got to be careful, otherwise we're going to be lost. Continuing in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Here in Matthew, we see two gates, a broad one and a straight one. And there is clear instruction that if we wish to enter into eternal life, we got to enter through the straight gate. It's narrow, but it leads to eternal life. There'll be few that find it, meaning that there'll be few that heed the instruction that is given to say, walk this way and follow this path. This gate, it's not hidden. It's right there in plain sight. It's just that many will choose a different path. They will choose what they think is better, contrary to what Jesus has instructed. You see, friends, Jesus is this gate. When it says you got to enter in at the straight gate, we got to come through Jesus Christ. Look at this. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. Therefore Jesus said again, Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. There will be many that will choose contrary to Jesus. Yes, even well-meaning Christians, even those that go to church, or maybe even those that are listening to this live stream here this morning. But friends, how do we do that? How do we choose contrary to Jesus? Look, as we enter in through the straight gate that leads to eternal life, we enter in through Jesus Christ, right? He's the one that gives life. But how is it that many reject him? Surely, we're saying probably in our hearts, if Jesus was standing right here this morning, I wouldn't reject him. I wouldn't be like the Pharisees that crucified Jesus and put him on the cross. It's so clear. Jesus was God. I would have chosen him. But many, even today, are repeating the mistakes of the Pharisees. How do we reject Jesus Christ and reject going in through the straight and narrow gate and choose the broad gate that leads to destruction? How is that possible? Well, what else gives life apart from going in through the straight gate and following Jesus Christ? What else gives life? John 5:39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Friends, what is it that gives life? It is none other than the scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God. If we are to enter in through that straight gate and choose that narrow path, we got to enter in by Jesus Christ. That's how we get eternal life. But what gives us eternal life here is the Word of God. And so, how do we reject him? How do we reject Jesus Christ? By rejecting his word. By rejecting the counsel that has been given to us, the instruction. But how? You see, the Bible is full of all types of instruction. Well, the Ten Commandments are clear. You know, That's clear instruction. Don't do this and don't do that, right? But do you know that there's much, much more in the Bible in terms of instruction that is given to us beyond the Ten Commandments? Let me show you just a few little passages here and there. You'll be amazed about the depth to which the Bible teaches us how to live. It's not just not stealing from each other and not killing each other and not committing adultery against each other. There is much instruction that the Bible gives us beyond just the Ten Commandments. Let's go to the first. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. God gives us instruction on health. If we learn to follow him, he won't put the diseases upon us. So there is something there in the Bible that teaches us how to live about health. Leviticus 11 being one of them, about the clean and unclean meat. There is instruction. And that instruction is calculated to give us good life, abundant life. And many choose to go in a different direction. Are you following me? What I'm trying to get at this morning? Let's continue. Proverbs 31 verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. In the Bible, there's instruction on choosing the right partner in life. And especially here, for men, what sort of woman you should choose. And for women, what sort of woman you should be. You see that? Furthermore, in Proverbs 22 verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. There's instruction on how to train our children. Don't spare the rod, no matter what country you're living in. Yeah, it seems like in some countries, especially Western ones, they say, if you do that, you're abusing your child. But friends, it doesn't matter. Follow the Bible. There's clear instruction on how to train up our children. Make sure you teach them the Ten Commandments. Make sure you teach them about God. Make sure you have family worship. You see, there's so much instruction that is given in the Word of God. And then in the very next verse, verse 7, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. It teaches us about finance. So we can find in the Bible all sorts of way on how to live. It teaches us to make sure you never take out loans. Something I wish I knew earlier in life. And then, there's also 1 Timothy 2:9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Friends, there's even instruction on how to dress. In the Bible, we find at every turn instruction and counsel on how we should live. It even teaches us about construction. Don't build your house on sand. Build it upon rock. Yes, there's a spiritual application there, but there is a literal application as well. Make sure you don't build your house on shifting sand. So look, in all of this, you must remember that God, he's not trying to make your life miserable. He's not giving this instruction to make you miserable. No, in fact, it's contrary. He's trying to give you abundant life. But many of us, we don't look at it that way, do we? But he's trying to give us the best health, the best marriage, the best way to manage your finances so you don't have to be stressed out every single month and live paycheck to paycheck. He's trying to give us the best family. He's trying to give us the best business practices. Peace in your heart so you can sleep well at night. It's all calculated to give us abundant life. Joy and happiness and fulfillment even in this life and also life in the future to come. Friends, this is the intention of God in giving us his word. And too many of us, we look at it contrary. Oh, I just got to obey this if I want to go to heaven. And so when we begin to make comparisons, we go, oh, I have a good life here, a better life. I can't imagine having a better life in heaven. I have a mansion. I have many cars. I have people that serve me. I don't have to worry about food or clothing or shelter. Why this life seems better? But friends, it's not about just making you obey it, but God wants to give you something even better. Many people, they think they have a good life, even though they have all these things, they're financially free, but they're miserable. Maybe their families are falling apart, even though they have millions of dollars in the bank account. Friends, this is not God's thoughts just to make us miserable. It's quite opposite. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God's thoughts toward us are thoughts of peace. It's good thoughts, and those thoughts are written down in the Word of God. Furthermore, he says in Proverbs 10:28, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. Psalms 144:15, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And then Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. He wants us to have thoughts of peace because that's what he has towards us. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to have hope. He wants all these good things for us. And that's why he writes it down for every single one of us. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But many of us, I know I looked at it this way before. We look at the Word of God as optional. It's something that's just counsel, like you go to someone and you listen to what they have to say and go, let me go back and weigh up this opinion. And that's what we take God's Word as. But friends, even we look at the Ten Commandments that way. Do you know that? It's optional. When the Bible says, thou shalt not lie, well, my family is struggling and needing to survive, I'm going to have to lie and cheat and to steal, isn't it? Even though the Bible says we should keep the Sabbath, but it's okay to break it just this once, just to get out of school, and then you're done, isn't it? We look at the Word as optional. And beyond even the Ten Commandments, oh, it's definitely optional about health and about loans and finances and all these things and who to marry, you know. God, there's no girl in my church that is worthy of marriage or not even my age. So that's why I got to go out and look at other people. That's why I got to be unequally yoked. And we look at this as just good counsel. And oh, well, you know, I just got to be strong and make sure I work on my marriage to make it successful, even though God tells us the best advice. But we say things like, it's not relevant to us today, in this day and age, how they lived back then. You see, back then it was easier. Israelites married Israelites. They were all one nation. But us, we're all scattered throughout the world now. It's so hard. We make God's Word just good counsel and optional to be followed. Remember, we are studying about living by every word. By every word. Not just the Ten Commandments, but every word that has been written down. And God, you got to remember, He wants to give us joy. He wants to give us peace. He wants to give us gladness. He wants to give us happiness. But how? We read this text before. John 13:17. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. You see, friends, happiness is not just found in the knowing. It's not just found in instruction, just reading it and go, okay, I know the Word of God. In fact, if we leave it just there, much misery will be found, much unhappiness will be found, because our carnal hearts know it, but we don't like to do it. That's what it says in Romans 8:7. The carnal mind is enmity. It's an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. We got to get to the point of doing, of applying. So as we read the Word of God and take it not just as counsel, but knowing that God has best in mind for us, we got to learn to apply it. We got to do it. We got to make sure that it becomes real in our lives. This is the key, the true and real key to happiness. Because too many of us Seventh-day Adventists and Christians out there, we know much about the Word of God, but many of us, we're not living it. And so how do we get to that point? That's the second part of what I mentioned right at the very beginning. You see, the Word of God, it gives us instruction, but it's also full of power to help us to do it as well. Not only does it give us instruction, not only does it tell us what is the best recipe for a good life and a fulfilled life and a happy life, but in those words that you read, in those words that you see in the Bible that is giving you instruction on what to do, it contains the very power that will help you to do it as well. It gives us power, not just telling us what to do. Look at this. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Friends, God has given us great and exceeding precious promises. It will enable us to become partakers of the divine nature. The very words that you read, when you look at it as instruction, the Word of God, for example, the Ten Commandments, it tells us not to do this and not to do that and make sure we honor our parents, things we do and we shouldn't do. But we look at it as commands, something we have to do in order to go to heaven, not words that are given to us so that you can have a good life, an abundant life, and a happy life. But friends, I want you to change your focus. When you look at the Ten Commandments, not only are they Ten Commands, but because it came from the Word of God, they are also Ten Promises. In those Ten Commandments are wrapped up exceeding great promises. They are 10 promises. And just as Jesus said it, He promised right there that you can do these 10 commandments. Not by our own strength, but in the strength of Jesus Christ, which is found in the Word of God. And look, Jesus is not going to give us something and tell us something to do when He knows it's impossible for us to do it. Impossible in our own strength, but very much possible in the strength of Jesus Christ. I can do all things. I can do all the Ten Commandments through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. God, He gives us the power to do it. Where? In the same place He gives us the instruction. Look at this. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Every word of God, the gospel of Christ, is not just a bidding, a command, but it is an enabling. It is also something that gives us strength to do it. The very same word which told you what to do gives you the same power to do it. Of course, with man it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And happy are you if you do it. You see, when Jesus went up to the paralytic and said, "Man, take your bed, get up and walk," that was a command. But when he listened to the Word of God, and that command, he believed it because Jesus said he could walk. And so as he bent all the energies of his mind to do that which God asked him, or Jesus asked him to do, he was healed. And so as we look at the Word of God and say, "Oh, don't lie," and we bend all the energies of our mind to not lie because we believe what God said, we are able to stop lying. Not because there's anything good in us, not because the power of my mind was so good, but I believed. You see, in Romans 1:16, at the very end, there's a condition to everyone that believeth. God has given us precious instruction. How much do we believe it? How much do we accept it? Then it goes to the degree how much we are able to apply it and do it. Happy are you if you do it. Instruction that is given to bless us, to prosper us. Look at what it says here in 2 Chronicles 20:20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." Friends, you want to be established? You want to be prospered? You got to believe in the Lord your God. You got to believe in the prophets, the ones who wrote down what God told them to write. The prophets who wrote the Bible. We got to learn to believe every word of God. And we got to learn to live by every word of God. Friends, how much does the word of God guide your life throughout the week? I mean, how many hours a day does the Bible tell you what to do? Do you stop there and think about that? Rather than just, I have devotion, I go out the door and then I go to work or I go to study. But how much hours, how much of your day does God guide you, his word guide you in eating, in drinking, in dressing, in working, in sleeping, in praying, in playing? Everything in our lives should be guided and molded and leading us by the word of God. How much time do you spend thinking about the word of God and how it should guide you on Tuesday or on a Wednesday? How many of us, we just go to church and we listen to a sermon, you know, and we hear all this instruction that is given to us, you know, don't lie, don't steal, and those things that are well and good. But the idea of letting God guide you with his word and through his word to the very minutiae of our lives, every minute, every moment, this is a very rare concept. Do you see that, friends? How much does the word of God actually guide us in everything that we do? From our business decisions, to our course of study, everything, to how we dress, everything. You know, friends, God, he's in the business of healing, of giving us abundant life, of protecting us, of giving us a happy life, of giving us a fulfilling life, a life of satisfaction, a life of peace, a life that is a blessing to everyone around us, including our families and our friends. Do you trust him? Do you really trust him in every word that is written there in the scriptures? I want to share with you a quote taken from Adventist Home 213.3. Take the word of God as the man of your counsel. In the home, live out the teachings of your word, of the word. Then you will live them out in the church and will take them with you to your place of business. The principles of heaven will ennoble all your transactions. Angels of God will cooperate with you, helping you to reveal Christ to the world. Friends, do you see that? We got to take the word of God as the man of our counsel. Has it become the place where you seek for answers? Has it guided you in your home? Can your family see that the word of God abides in you and guides your life? Because then it will overflow to the church and all the business transactions of our lives. In every area, we've got to start in our rooms, in our homes, and be a Christian at home. But friends, this must be the foundation of our life. We must take the word of God as the man of our counsel. We got to learn to trust him. But then, something else as well. Prayer. 57.4. To live thus by the word of God means the surrender to Him of the whole life. There will be felt a continual sense of need and dependence, a drawing out of the heart after God. Prayer is a necessity, for it is the life of the soul. Family prayer, public prayer have their place, but it is secret communion with God that sustains the soul life. Friends, if we are to live by every word of God, you see that first sentence there? We have to learn to surrender our whole life to Him. What does the word surrender actually mean? Well, I just went to the dictionary and looked it up. This is what surrender means. It means to not resist. It means to not give in. To submit to someone else's authority. That's what surrender means. And God, He wants us to surrender to Him, to trust Him, to be willing to submit to Him at the expense of our own wisdom, our own life and our own thinking, our own experiences, no matter how successful we've been and what we've been doing with our lives. He is the expert on happiness. Jesus, He's the expert on joy. He's the expert on how to live an abundant life. He is the expert on how to live a life full of power. You know, friends, just as we have sicknesses, we go to the experts. We go to doctors and we walk into their room and say, "Doctor, I have this pain here and that pain." And they'll check us, and many times they'll say, "There's nothing," or, "You got an infection, and just take this." And that's it. We walk out full of joy, full of peace, because we've seen the expert on our bodies. And that's what we think. Or sometimes they'll say, "There's nothing wrong with you. It'll go away. Don't worry about it." And even though the pain is still there, we choose to surrender to the counsel of the doctor, even though our bodies are still painful walking out. Or they'll say, "Just in a few days, they'll be gone," right? And we learn to surrender to their counsel. That's exactly what God wants us to do with His Word. The Word of God is the expert on everything. How to take care of our health, how to dress, how to choose a godly partner, where to live, everything. How to manage our finances. The Bible has it all. It's the expert. And God wants us to not resist His Word, to learn to live by every word that has been written down for us today. One more. Counsels to Parents, Teachers and Students, 551, paragraph 3. Those students who get the most good out of life are those who live by the Word of God in their connections and dealings with their fellow men. You want to get the most out of your life, the most good out of your life? Learn to live by every single word. Now look, I just want to pause here and deal with something that, you know, maybe you've been noticing for many, many, many weeks and months as I've been preaching. I quote a lot of Ellen White. I quote a lot from her books. And I need to address this. I'm not going to get into a deep Bible study. We don't have time for that. But, you know, I hear many people say we shouldn't use Ellen White in our sermons. We shouldn't be quoting from her. We shouldn't even be using her as a source of inspiration at all. Look, as a Seventh-day Adventist, and even as a Seventh-day Adventist minister, and let's even go take a step back, even just as a Christian, I believe in the Bible and the Bible only. Okay? As Seventh-day Adventists, we don't take the Bible and Sister White. We don't take Sister White instead of the Bible. And we don't take the volumes of the Spirit of Prophecy are an addition to the Bible. Look, we take the Bible and the Bible only as our rule of faith and life. It's called sola scriptura. The Bible and the Bible only as our rule and guide, rather, for this life. But look, what we do find in the Bible, and please don't miss this, we find in the Bible clear prophecies in Acts chapter 2, which was quoted from Joel chapter 2 in the Old Testament, and in places like Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. We find in the Bible and other places that in the last days God will have a church in which He pours out His Spirit and that the gift of prophecy will be present in God's final church. I'm not going to do a study right now on that, and it's not a study on Ellen White. It's a study on the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. If you're not familiar with this, please sit down with me and have a Bible study before you jump to conclusions and before you go and blast out to the whole of the world and Facebook and Instagram and all your public places that, why does this pastor preach about Ellen White all the time? I'm not. You got to understand the Bible and the Bible only as our rule and guide for this life. But look, God's remnant church at the end of time in Revelation chapter 12 verse 17, they not only keep the commandments of God, but they also have the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy, the gift of prophecy. The Bible itself is the one that says that. I'm not quoting Ellen White in addition to the Bible, thinking that she's much better. No, the Bible and the Bible only. But why do I believe in the ministry of Ellen White? Because of the Bible and the Bible only, learning to live by every word. And so if we believe in the Bible and the Bible only, we would expect to find a church which manifests the gift of the spirit of prophecy, right? And that's not something outside of the Bible, but it's the Bible itself that calls for it. And we would have to cut some verses out of the Bible if we leave off the gift of prophecy from the book of Corinthians, Revelation, Joel, so many places that God says he would pour out his spirit, and that the gift of prophecy, the book of Ephesians, you know. So as we take the Bible and the Bible only as our rule of faith and doctrine, we see in there that it clearly points out the need for the gift of prophecy in these last days to guide us through troubled waters. It's what we call present truth. And simply said, I quote Ellen White because God has given her to us as a gift in these last days. I don't hold her above the Bible. Look, I read through the Bible every year, from Genesis to Revelation. I tell people to read the Bible. I know its importance. I understand its value and its place. But I also understand the value of the ministry of Ellen White as well. It's given to us as a gift. A gift. Something that we didn't earn, that we don't deserve. But it's a gift from God. And so with that said, did you know that Ellen White, she gives us so much instruction and counsel as well? She tells us about how to dress in more detail. She tells us even when to turn the lights off at school. She will tell us about health and temperance and the best temperature to sleep in our rooms. She tells us so many things about family and education, and the list goes on and on. She has written so many books of blessing for us, so much counsel contained in it, how to walk through the straight gate. Look, if she is just giving an opinion, it's just an opinion of a woman that lived 100 years ago and she's been dead for so long, it really isn't worth finding out so much about what she writes, right? She wrote, right? So, I mean, if she was just giving her own opinion, it's really just a waste of a time. We shouldn't listen to her at all. But look, if the Lord Jesus sent his right hand covering cherub, the angel Gabriel, right down from heaven to give light to this woman, whom we call a prophet and we regard as a prophet, right from the throne room of God, if God saw it so important to send a messenger to illumine her mind, to bless us with all this instruction on how to live successfully, well, it would definitely be worth our time to find out what God has in store for each and every one of us, right? Then we begin to see the blessedness of the writings of Sister White. Look, there's just so much that she has given us and blessed us with, from diet, counsels on diets and food, amazing book. And then even how to talk, a whole book written on it, voice in speech and song. Even a book for young people, a book on education, in fact, a few. How to manage your money wisely, that's stewardship. Friends, my point is this. Man he must not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And friends, in these last days, we need all the guidance and instruction that we can get. It is for our protection. It is for our safety. It is for our joy. It is for our happiness. It is for all the good things in life and not for the bad. You know, we need to get the most out of our life. Isn't that what you want? To be able to look back on your life one day and know that you lived a life without regret. To know that you maximized the time and the energy that God has given to you and that nothing was wasted. To know that you lived by every word of God and that Jesus was your guide throughout your whole life. You know, friends, that's the way to be happy today. That's the way to be happy. Let's learn to take the word of God as the man of our counsel. Let's take him into all the business transactions of our lives, into all our studies, to our recreation, to our relationships, into everything. May God and his fingerprints be found throughout your life in this new week. I don't know about you, but I want him to guide me. I want him to instruct me so that when the bad things happen, when things that happen that are unfortunate, and I look back and I see God's fingerprints all over it, I know that surely he is with me in the storm as well as in the sunshine. Friends, that's how we can live a happy and abundant life. Let's learn to live by every word this coming week. Let's bow our heads, shall we? Father in heaven, Lord, too often we allow our own intellect, we allow our own opinions, we allow our own successes from this life to get in the way of the counsel that you have given to us. Lord, I pray that you would prick our hearts and minds. Just as it was in the days of the apostles when they heard the sermons and people, they were pricked by the Holy Spirit. Lord, please convict us. Show us where we've come short, where we've been walking in a path of our own kindling. We thought we knew better than you. And Lord, even though it seems like we've attained some measure of human success, help us not to think that it will continue that way. And that's the path for happiness. Help us, Lord, to align our lives with your word in this coming week. I pray, Father, that you would guide us, that you would lead us, that you would strengthen us, and that you would help us to see the clear instruction that is shining from your word this morning into our lives. Lord, more than ever, please send Jesus to instruct us. This is my earnest plea, Lord, and may we walk closer with you in this coming week than we have ever before. And may you give us the strength and the power to heed and to apply all the instruction you have given to us. For we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.